Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest tech news. We'll also talk about the Ashley Madison hack, bank card skimmers, and the agonizingly slow decline of Adobe Flash. We'll talk a little bit of back-to-school tech on today's show, and of course, take time for your questions. Send them via email midday@sdpb.org or tweet us at SDPB. Join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio or call now 800-524-3604. Email your suggestions or questions to today's guests. They're Joel Brovelite, John T. Meyer, Amos Asaf, and Jeff Litterick. That email address again, midday@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer questions you will have about those things. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls is Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite, Director of Technical Support at DataSync, Amos Asaf, Lemon Lee's birthday boy, John T. Meyer, is here, and from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre, Jeff Litterick joins us on the phone. You can call, text, tweet, or email your questions, or simply swing by our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, and post your comment or question there. Don't be shy. Our phone number is 800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. At SDPB is our Twitter handle, and the email address is midday. midday@sdpb.org. Guys, it's been a while since we've had a full house.
It's
great to see everybody here today.
Absolutely.
It's to celebrate John's birthday.
I think so. Yeah. Well, congratulations, John.
Thank you.
Somebody baking you a lemon cake, hopefully?
Well, we did get donuts this morning at the Lemon Lee office, which was really nice. And then yesterday, this was actually more fun than I thought it would be. If someone's looking for a fun event in Sioux Falls, we did the Pedal Pub, where you can meet downtown Sioux Falls on one of those like 12-person bicycle things.
Oh, really?
And then you can drink a beer and you can kind of go around downtown, and it's more work than you think it is. It's
sure.
A little bit of a workout.
A little exercise.
So yeah, celebrating birthday today, but happy to be back here on the show and talk tech. We're also streaming live on Periscope.
For those who want to see
behind the scenes what it looks like, you can find me at John T. Meyer on Twitter and actually see what it looks like here in the studio with our headsets and everything.
Periscope is the Meerkat version from Facebook.
Twitter acquired Periscope. It was a company of its own and then acquired. And so, yeah, it's the Periscope versus Meerkat battle is still definitely going on, but Periscope lately is really catching on, especially kind of in those thought leader, like writer, speaker people. They're using it as a platform to grow their brands. And you said you've been enjoying it, right?
I actually have been enjoying it. And then actually today, those new Samsung phones come out, and they're supposed to be, and I'm really hoping I'll be able to figure this out after the show, i.e. go get one, that YouTube will have direct streaming. Which will do the same thing Periscope and Meerkat will. And then when you're done, then it will automatically upload it to your accounts
on YouTube.
So this has become a really popular genre of technology. And obviously, you know, it's growing. When it comes through YouTube, you know it's a significant thing. So, it's really grown quite spectacularly.
It's just funny because it's pretty low tech, actually, as far as technology's existed for a while.
It is surprising it's taken this long to get to that point.
I mean, it's low tech right up to the point where the back end that you need, by back end, I mean all of the infrastructure you need to handle that kind of load, both from the upload from the user, but mainly from the download from the end user, the rest of the people who want to watch that. That is very sophisticated and requires lots of, not necessarily lots of technology, but lots of backbone, lots of bandwidth on the back end.
Between like we could do this 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At this quality.
Well before that. I mean, this same technology is maybe 10, 15 years old.
In a previous life, job related, when we wanted to do live streaming of any sort of event, we had to contact a third party vendor. We had to be set up months in advance. We had to make sure that we did all types of testing and software installed and. Use their bandwidth because they had huge pipes to the internet now.
Or you had to have a subscription to be able to do that on a regular basis through Akamai or one of the big
or real networks,
like
I guess, is what we were using. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Real networks. Yeah,
yeah, that was a couple. That was a couple previous lives right. ago. Yeah, hey, we actually have a question we're going to take before we get into the rest of the show. For Tom, he says, dudes, I haven't been called a dude in a while, but thank you. I took a free offer and downloaded and installed Windows 10. And now seeing how it goes, it seems a little slow at first. Maybe it's still bumping out the old bad version that came with his laptop. He's hopeful that it's going to go well. One snag might be with my printer, which is currently hardwired. I'm hoping someday soon my neighbor will come help me with the wireless printing capability. Do you have any early specific advice about Windows 10 to share, praise, or look out for with this sort of stuff? Thanks much. Keep up the great program.
Well, we were just talking about this.
We were
right
just
before
talking
we
about Windows 10 before we went on the air.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reason is because Kent got a new Apple laptop. I don't know if you guys noticed that
or
not.
I did notice. Very foreign for you.
Yes. So normally we'd be all Mac in here, but today I brought my non-Mac PC, because I'm trying out Windows 10.
Yeah.
I think on the last show we
although you could install Windows 10 on your
true,
on your Mac.
True.
Which I would.
I'd give it a shot. I actually just got rid of Bootcamp on there and just decided to go to two separate platforms completely.
Right.
Anyway, what I've discovered was, one, I had to go out and get a new BIOS update because for whatever reason, the hardware is performing infinitely better with Windows 10 than it was performing prior to the BIOS update, and it was running okay with Windows 8. I have no idea why that is. It could be specific to the Lenovo line that I'm using, but something to look into. Two, like we said last time, when new software comes out, you're going to have to expect there's going to be glitches. There's going to be peripherals that don't work. There's going to be drivers that don't exist yet. There's going to be glitches that you need to expect, you know, up through Service Pack 1 or the latest Windows update or whatever it is. So if you're moving to Windows 10, do not expect a utopia. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some things you're just going to have to put up with.
Okay. And get used to. I mean, that's what I would say to anybody upgrading any operating system from a previous version. You know, they don't change things to make you mad. I promise that. They change things to make things better and more compatible and easier and you know, any other positive adjective you could come up with. And part of what the deal is, not only does it have to, work its own bugs out, Microsoft has to send a patch and figure this out, but you've got to get used to how things work on that, because I promise you, as mad at you are as at that one feature that you don't like, they have hundreds of man hours behind it showing why that feature is a better way to do things. And I'm not saying that Microsoft is the best in the whole world. Every manufacturer is like that, especially the major ones that put out operating systems like Google, Apple, and Microsoft. They've put a lot of thought into it. So spend a little time and figure out how it works, and it'll probably be all for the better.
What's Tom going to need to do? Go to the manufacturer website and try and see
for
if
this
there's
printer?
A new driver for that?
Well, I would do that, but you know, actually, this might be a really good opportunity for him to try and use the wireless on that printer. So I'd just go ahead, unplug the cable, get the manual for the printer out. You might have to hit a button to turn the wireless on, depending on what model it is. We don't have the information. Mm-hmm. And then I would use the step-by-step setup that's, I'm sure, built into Windows 10 that helps you add a network printer. This might be a great opportunity to go ahead and get that going, because it's probably easier than ever,
sure.
Frankly.
As I was reading Tom's email on the air, another email came in. This is my Windows 10 upgrade experience. Jim was clairvoyant there and knew we were going to talk about it, and he says, I have a desktop that's about 7 years old. It originally came with Windows 7, but I upgraded it to 8.1. I didn't want to wait for several months to update to 10, so I decided to take the chance and upgrade. At first, everything seemed to upgrade without a hitch, but he couldn't get Windows 10 to recognize his Wi-Fi adapter, so he couldn't get on the internet. He tried a couple of things, none of which worked. He restored his computer back to 8.1. then went on the company website for the brand of the Wi-Fi adapter he has, upgraded the driver, did 10 again, and everything worked great. He says, I really like Windows 10. So thanks, Jim, for the comments. I'm just going to throw in there that I did Windows 10 on my gaming machine at home. Not a hitch. My GeForce program came up and said, you're going to need to do this, this, and this, and it did the upgrades for me automatically. And speaking of automatically, I've noticed on shutting down and starting up again, those updates happen. There just says, hey, we're updating. A red screen comes up, says we're updating. Don't unplug me right now. And it just does it. So I would have to concur with Jim at the moment. I really like 10. I like having my my start menu back.
Sure.
It's a little different now, but it's fine. It's different, but it's fine. And it seems quick, and I haven't had any real problems with it.
Yeah, I think it's just Windows 10 was an elaborate plan to make people's transition to Mac OS 10 easier. So I appreciate that from Microsoft.
Yeah, Jeff, any comments from Pierre on 10? Everything going okay? Any things to watch out for?
Yeah, and both articles kind of mention it. Now, normally the way Windows 10 now works, because all the updates and features will come down automatically, including drivers, by the way. You don't need to update your drivers manually, or should not need to update your drivers manually. Mm-hmm. That window little wireless problem is that some manufacturers may not be submitting their drivers quite yet fully to Windows. They should in the future. What should have happened is Windows 10 should have upgraded, and then Windows Update in the background should have updated the wireless driver. If that's not happening, it's probably because your wireless manufacturer or your printer manufacturer isn't submitting the driver yet, but that should change fairly soon, so those things should be ironed out. Kind of getting back to the firmware update, one interesting feature in Windows 8 and 10 most people don't realize, and this kind of gets to Livono a little bit more than other laptop manufacturers, is Microsoft gave the manufacturers the ability to run their own programs that you cannot stop by putting them in the firmware of the machine. They can actually put normal Windows programs and stuff into the firmware now, and that will always run no matter what when you boot Windows 8 or Advanced. And they just run in the background stuff like services and LoadJack. It's designed for antivirus and stuff, but Livono was using it for a lot of other software they wanted on your machine, and it's a way that prevented you from ever disabling it, because there's no way to disable it, to even see it, really. And the Livono update was to update that software, probably, that was running Windows 8, their security software, to Windows 10. So BIOS updates are something you still have to do manually, and you should probably check into that before you do an upgrade. But for most part, especially within another month, I don't think driver updates are going to be much of an issue anymore. So it is going to get better. And Microsoft is actually adding new features. They've already added a new feature this past week that allows streaming to your Xbox One. Xbox One is getting Windows 10 here soon in October. There's actually a whole bunch of new features coming along. The only bad thing is really DVD playback. If you still do that, you're going to have to pay extra, but that's just one small feature out of all the benefits.
Great. One feature I wish they would have put in there was a little warning to folks. I mean, folks should know if they're on a wireless plan or something for their internet, they ought to know that the Windows 10 is going to soft might have triggered that thought in their head. I've heard some disgruntled folks.
What's the problem?
They're on a limited data plan.
Oh, sure.
For their internet, because
they're constantly downloading.
They're out in the country, and they needed to, and they said, "Yeah, go ahead and download Windows 10." And then it's probably
in there somewhere, written, but it probably affects so few people that it's not
in this state. Probably more than you think. But
I'm just talking about people, not people in this state.
Okay, all right.
But it probably affects so few people in the long run that it's just not worth them confusing the marketing.
It is important to remember,
we're going to take a quick break. Yeah.
It's really important to remember that Windows 10 will add new features automatically too, so the updates are going to be bigger than they were in the past. Their cumulative updates include all security plus feature updates. So the update sizes are going to get bigger if you do have limited data plans.
Okay, that's a great tip. Mm-hmm. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the Ashley. I keep wanting to call it Dolly Madison. I don't know why. I think I'm hungry or something.
That's a whole different list.
That's a whole other list. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Ashley Madison data dump and back to school tech and a few other things, along with your questions and your comments after this quick break. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We have the experts in the studio today at KCSD. Matt Guru, Joel Brolight is here, Director of Technical Support at DataSync, Amos Asif. Lemon Lee's birthday boy, John T. Meyer, is here. And from joining us from the Bureau in Pierre is Jeff Litterick to take your questions, your comments today live on the air. We want to talk a little bit about Ashley Madison today, probably less about maybe what the website is and what it provides service for, which is for folks that want to have extramarital affairs with others and they want to pay to have and do that anonymously or have their information or information kept from other people. That's the I guess that's the real irony of the whole thing, was they were paying for anonymity and then this happened. But basically it was a hacker group trying to do some blackmail. They wanted a couple of websites taken down. They said, if you don't, we're going to dump this data. And they played a game of chicken, and they didn't take the websites down, and they dumped the data. Is that pretty much how it went down?
That's pretty much it. So, you know, the big thing here is this has to be the best textbook example of how anything stored in the cloud, if you don't encrypt it yourself, you can't rely on it being safe and secure. You know,
so where was the data?
So the data was all stored in Ashley Madison's back end.
In Canada.
Is that where it physically was?
Yep.
Are they based out of Canada? Because I saw that's where that's the most percentage of users.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
sidebar.
The hackers were able to retrieve that database, dump the entire thing. They got all of their personal information, all of their preferences that are assigned to the website. They got all of their credit card transactions. And then the hackers were actually able to find within that database that people had paid, I believe it was $19, that they wanted out of the system completely. And to do a secure delete, you pay Ashley Madison $19, and they will remove all of your information from their systems completely.
And mm-hmm. it still was there.
Turns out they didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
It turns out what they did was they just flagged it in the system as not being in the system anymore. So you weren't able to go back in and re-log in or reactivate your account. But the data still was there. And so, again, don't rely on other people to do your security for you. If you have information that you need to absolutely keep personal, you need to encrypt it if it's going to go up into the cloud, or you need to keep it in a thumb drive, in a shoebox, in your closet that's been concreted shut.
But once you're on someone else's site, you can't encrypt your own stuff, can you?
Right, no, you can't.
I mean, you're giving it to them.
So you have to put a lot of faith in the technical expertise of the people who are taking care of it for you, and this is a textbook example of how nothing is truly secure in that fashion.
Then, yeah, so this is they got a lot of data. It was even the GPS coordinates.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know, was that a feature of the site? You find who's close, and I don't know. I've never logged in.
You know, the most information
I don't think
about
any of us have.
And you can check my email address, and I can tell you I've never logged.
Well, and that's another thing too. We should mention there are some sites out there that are reporting to say check your email address here to find out if you were in the data dump.
Right.
Turns out that those are fraudulent. And they're just collecting email addresses. And so you need to be really careful about going out there. And people take advantage of problems and put up new websites and say, check your email here. Well, it turns out they're just collecting email addresses and really don't have any use for or method to check.
Well, I heard like Tony Blair's email address was on the data dump, but that turns out that was fraudulent.
Right.
It wasn't actually
him. And here's the weird thing is that they never needed email authentication to be a part of the site. So you could sign up with any email address, and they never sent you one that said, click here to authenticate that this is actually your email address.
Right.
You never did that.
Right.
So yeah. That's just crazy.
Yep. And then so based on what you were talking about, there was that there was the individual from the TV show from TLC that got outed for having had their information in there. And then because of the GPS coordinates that were located in there, they were able to figure out that they were – actually, their address was accurate. They were actually able to trace it back to their grandmother's house where the computer was being used.
Oh, gosh.
Because you plug that into Google Earth, and then that brings up exactly where they're at. So all of a sudden, you have all of this massive amount of information about that individual, and there's really very little you can do about it now because, again, once it hits the internet, it's out there for good.
Well, and this is only, PR-wise, this is only going to get worse before it gets better. That's certainly true.
Well, it's in it, and it isn't taking people long.
No.
You would think with 35 million entries and all that data, it would take a while to scrape. And it seems like the bloggers and the, I don't know if I'd really call them reporters, because I guess legitimate reporters aren't really trying to do any internet vigilantism on this. They're
sure.
just they're leaving the story basically alone for several reasons. But there are people out there analyzing and saying, you know, well, Alabama is the, you know, the,
yep.
the state that has the most, and mm-hmm. they're doing these little sidebars. That's a lot of it's a lot of data to go through. But there are legitimate sites, are there not? For isn't there? I've been pwned, or
there are.
There,
yep.
aren't there a few
yep.
sites that you can go to that it will index email addresses and tell you if any hack that's been released publicly has your email address in it, so you're so supposedly safe from having your email address been a part of a hack before. I think there are a few legitimate sites. And maybe we can get one of those pasted to our Facebook account, facebook.com/deckradio, just so people can go in and have a little peace of mind, mm-hmm. and not hit one of those sites that you're right, the scammers have hit, the phishing people have hit, and trying to take advantage again of a
yep.
scandalous situation. I guess it's kind of a weird one, because it's got the seamy underbelly, and it's one of those, it's a different kind
it's
of
it's a hack. Whole nother beast. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
Kind
yeah.
of wild. Really nothing anybody can do about it. If you're a part of that, there's not a whole lot you can do to safeguard your information.
Nope. I don't have much.
It's such a sensitive topic.
Yeah, I just don't have much to say about it. I mean, it's just like anything else. If you sign up to anything online, it doesn't matter whether it's, red light district or not. It your data is just not as safe as you maybe think it is. I don't find that surprising. I think if there's anything that I sign up with, personally, I just would expect that at some point I better not be doing anything that I wouldn't want to tell my neighbor about. So I just don't. Expecting otherwise seems a little strange.
What about the guys that did this? Do we know anything about? I mean, usually it's anonymous that has these big splashy.
I don't think they've sorted that out. It's a bit of cyber vigilantism. I don't think they've figured out who it is. Put it this way, I'm sure that they have figured out who it is. I'm sure that they just haven't said anything yet for one reason or another. I think they're when I say they, I mean both the media and governments and Ashley Madison are probably handling it the right way. It is in the news. They're not making a big deal of it because, frankly, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal to the people who it's affecting.
Yeah, totally.
And it's a big deal to Ashley Madison. To everybody else, it's just a thing. And, you're not talking about anybody's money, generally speaking.
But I do think like the cultural and societal
angle
is more like, you know, it's like people, hackers are the bad guys, and then you feel bad for people who shopped at Home Depot. It's like, oh crap, I shopped at Home Depot. Like, I hope I wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. This one's a different twist because it's almost like there's a little bit of that. Well, they got what's coming to them, or they got what they deserve.
Yeah, and I don't even think that. I think it's kind of a good situation because nobody's going to be ruined financially. Probably with something like this.
The credit card information.
I mean, nobody can. Here's the deal. Again, I don't feel bad for anybody that signed up for this that thought that they would skate by
absolutely.
And never be found out. I also don't feel like I think the way the media is handling, where they're not telling all the salacious details and listing off the people that are on there, is also the right way to handle it. It's not for me to say, and not for anybody else to say, what they do and how they spend their time online. Again, if you get ruined because of this, then you probably should have thought about that before you signed up. But at the same time, it's just like signing up for anything else on the internet. You should not be surprised
yep.
that your data got hacked.
But
because
we should,
data.
We should also but point out, though, that if you go, and I'll post this link here to where you can check and see if your email address is in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to that address or that site and you plug your address in, that's not a guarantee that person used it, right? It could have been a forgery. It could have been if you've got something that's, you know, relatively common, like I love motorcycles at Gmail, someone put that in there as a fake. And so that's another thing that could that could be unintended consequences, people who think that people are in there, but they truly aren't. The other thing is I did read some data analysis on this, and while there are 37 million records in there, they, based on activity of emails, chats, logins, that sort of stuff, they figured there's really only about 3 million legitimate accounts, right? So people who either went there, logged in one time to see what it was, and then figured it wasn't for them and left, or people that had duplicate accounts or whatever it is. They figured there's only
about
3 million.
They forgot their account five times and signed up for a new one five times.
Right,
like happens with any account. So, yeah, that totally makes
sense. So, active users versus users.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to remind folks that you can call, text, or tweet, or email your questions. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. Post your comments or questions there. Our phone number, 800-524-3604 today. And our Twitter handle, at SDPB, is a good way to get a hold of us as well. It seems the most popular way is midday@sdpb.org, an email address. You can express your thoughts freely and send them off to us for discussion. So just putting the icing on the cake here, at the core of this, it was a hack. It was a blackmail attempt, and it's probably got all the news that it's getting because it's so salacious, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, there'll be more, too, I'm guessing.
The story is not over yet. Of repercussions, and yeah, they're not going to let this go without further analysis.
A lot of clickbait out there for the taking.
Yeah, a lot of that. Let's move on to another scam. It surfaced in Sioux Falls in August, and that was a few hours after someone installed a couple of bank card skimmers on some local ATMs. Astute bank employees found them and followed up with the Sioux Falls Police Department, who had training. I talked to one of the officers, one of the sergeants today. They had actually had, they said, you know, bank card scammers, nothing new about that. The new is that that it happened in Sioux Falls. So the folks over at the Sioux Falls Police Department had training in this, never applied it before, thankfully. But it happened. And the other news that we talked about today was it hasn't happened since that they know of. So that's good news as well.
Should we do a brief rundown of actually what the hardware and the implications here are?
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting.
So there's some hardware that these hackers or the developers or whatever you want to call them have been able to come up with that neatly and very unobtrusively is able to fit over the bank ATM system so that when you slide your card in, you're actually passing it past a reader that reads your card and then into the system. So the ATM functions as normal because it actually goes in there. And then there, in this case, there was a hidden camera that also was pointed at the keypad. So every time you passed that skimmer, it would read your card and then the camera would pick up your PIN number. So now these thieves were able to go and recreate your card, and now they've got your PIN number. They can go and withdraw cash at any ATM. It's difficult to detect if you don't know what you're looking for. It's not obvious. The machines look very similar to what they look like prior to this stuff being put in. In fact, those I think you posted pictures on Facebook, right?
In the story, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and it's difficult to detect, and that's why I think they train those bank employees to look for that sort of stuff because they're at those machines every day, making updates and changes.
Yeah, there are ones or skimmers that can remotely transmit that information to, you know, a van nearby or, you know, an apartment or something like that. But these were of the type that was just basically doing the recording of the information, and then later someone could come back and retrieve that and then go have your stuff. So it doesn't sound like really anything. You know, they caught these things, like I said, within hours of being installed. And so that's a really great thing. There are other types of skimmers that happen in maybe inside of gas pumps. They're actually hardware that's installed, so you don't really see it because it's in there, and that doesn't get checked as often as an ATM, you know, being filled or being, you know, somebody noticing something weird on the outside. Those are on the inside. And yes. And we still haven't had any reports around here of that happening, thankfully. But that is something that happens as well. I guess a good reason to go to something. Does the chip actually help in that? The chip cards or the Apple Pay or anything like that? Is that why this is? Is that one of the reasons to go to something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean that hack could not have been done using chip and pin or Apple Pay or Google Wallet. It wouldn't be possible. So, I mean, the real deal is, the debit cards and bank cards that we use in the United States, we are like at least one, if not two generations behind virtually the rest of the world, including most of the third world.
Generations, so, you mean like tech generations?
Yeah. It's not yeah. Like... I mean, the technology that we're using isn't, you can only barely call it technology.
But not like my grandpa's technology, is that what you're saying?
Well, this what is you your grandpa's technology.
You're talking about generations, like age generations.
Yeah, yeah, technology generations. But this is your grandpa could have used a credit card with a magnetic strip. In
sure.
fact, probably
did. He probably did yeah.
So, yeah, we're just way behind in the banking sector really needs to catch up.
In case you think this is a great idea and you should go out and try it, I should let you know that the Sioux Falls Police Department is assisting the investigation by the Secret Service in this right now. And the one piece of advice that I guess when I talked to Sergeant Koister today was with your other hand, cover up the keypad as you're putting your PIN number in, and just to keep the snooping away. So that's something that, when they started doling out bank cards, nobody really, I guess, really worried about that or whatever. But nowadays, keep those prying eyes and cameras, somebody could be sitting there with binoculars or a spotting scope or something and watching the PIN numbers go in. Just take your other hand, cover the keypad, because those little covers that they give you, at the grocery store or whatever, really aren't doing very much for you.
Right.
Take your hand and put your PIN number in, cover it up, just to keep those prying eyes away, I guess, is the advice they gave me. So we are at time for another break. You can go ahead and we'll be back after this with some back-to-school tech advice, maybe spot some trends, and then maybe do a little news roundup after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We join you today from the lovely campus of University of Sioux Falls, in Sioux Falls, of course, KCSD. The students have not quite made their way back to campus here, as evidenced by...
I figured, because I found a parking spot.
You found a parking right. spot. But students are going back all over the state to various levels of education and spending a lot of money on tech, apparently.
There's Although not near as much as... Not near as much. Not as much as they were planning on last year, apparently. Apparently this year, spending on back-to-school things is down maybe as high as 30%.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Hmm.
I thought I was kind of amazed by that, but I guess I'm not so amazed in that everybody has devices and they get them all year long. Now it's not like you buy a computer for going back to school because you've already got one. You're already on a different upgrade cycle.
Yeah, and I think the it could just be an iPad or a phone.
By computer, I mean any device.
You don't need a big computer like the old
days.
Yeah,
but you're totally right. It doesn't necessarily have to be a computer, but I think because they're so... necessary in life, especially the younger you are.
Then everyone already has them.
You're not going to be like, oh, it's time to go back to school, so we're going to buy you a laptop or we're going to buy you a tablet. And then, you already have one because you're a human below 25. So that's probably why.
There was a company that did a survey. About 3,000 people were in the survey, and they said 74% of the shopping was for middle school, 70% for preschool, 75% for elementary school, and the average middle school students plan to spend about $200.
That's a lot of, that adds up to more than 100%. It seems confusing. If 70% was middle school.
Well, they might have more than one kid they're buying for.
I'm going to stick with my, what? That's more than 100%.
All right.
What type of preschool tech is there?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Wait.
I'm going to be a dad this fall.
It won't be long. It won't be long.
You know, like, what do I have to give my kid when I drop?
Well, I don't think he was talking tech. He's just talking back to school, right?
Well, actually, we're talking, back to school shopper insights. Yeah. So
Just back to school. I can see all that.
But by the time your kid is ready, there will be something. I promise.
4-year-old, here's an iPad for preschool.
They're saying that there is an increased spending on technology, device preferences. Shoppers prefer touch screens of tablets and mobile phones to desktop computers, and that's
because they're humans.
That's nothing new there. 16% of technology purchases taking place exclusively online. That number seems low to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Especially if you're talking back to school, a lot of people. If you are buying something, a lot of times people want to see it first. That does seem a little low, though.
Read a couple articles, back to school type shopping articles. It seems like a lot of it's centered around storage devices, whether it be flash or
what year is this? Are you sure this is this year?
No, this is a different thing. I was just doing some reading earlier.
I trust his research.
Yeah.
Well, they need to buy other things then. They've heard of the internet, right?
I've heard this cloud we've been talking about. I don't know. I guess. But that's just some of the trends, I guess. Got a SanDisk I was going to actually bring out and show you guys that plugs into your iPhone with an app, dumps your photos and videos and things, and basically unclogs your phone.
And like I said, I don't have any children yet, but I do imagine the experience that I had, like, you know, in early August, going out to wherever to get school supplies is very different today than it used to be. I would imagine, you know, we used to load up on notebooks and folders and pencils and erasers.
Well, they still want all that. But there's much more than certainly when I was a kid than there was. There's much more and lots of more, you know, different things, headphones, lots of things that didn't used to be.
So imagine even if they're not more available. Their and own tech. Cheaper. There's tech in the classroom that the school already has. Mm-hmm. So, you probably don't bring your own iPad in, but they're probably using one.
Absolutely.
In the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them are school issued or
yep.
Chromebooks here in Sioux Falls.
Yep.
iPads in Vermilion. These are ones that I know of, but there are probably similar
lots of examples. Yeah.
Similar examples all throughout. I would imagine cases and headphones.
So there's the big news. It's back to schools and people are buying stuff. I'm sure no one out there knows that. So we're glad to bring that to you.
Sassy
that
over
breaking
there.
News yeah. now.
The evolution is interesting because I'm third out of four kids and siblings, I should say, and we're all 3 years apart. And I know my sister went to Augustana College and they were like, look how many computer labs we have, right? And then Scott went to Luther College and he's like, I'm bringing a desktop. And then 3 years later, I went to Luther College and it's, whoa, I have a laptop. You know, and then by the time my younger brother was like, he already knew his roommate on Facebook and before he even got there. And, you know, everything's just changing, the whole college experience in terms of technology and how you kind of onboard and arrive.
Yeah, I guess e-books is probably one of the bigger changes. Some books are available electronically to Kindles and Nooks and other devices, and a lot of them still are not. I'm still buying a lot of really expensive books for my kids.
Textbooks. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So some things change, some things are changing. One of the cooler things I think is a lot of the coursework that's out there now for free, kind of that open university kind of field of things that just beyond TEDx or TED Talks, getting into more college level courses available for free online is really kind of a cool deal too. So that's getting to be kind of a huge thing as prices climb, tuition and fees and other things go up in traditional things. It's getting cheaper elsewhere. But anyway, let's talk about some things that maybe you've bought recently that you're happy with then.
I'm not unhappy with the back to school thing. I just think
But we want to talk about it. We wanted to talk about
you
Echo
have a cool
before,
product,
the,
yeah.
before the show.
Yeah,
got
well,
out.
Actually, Amos was the first person here that got one, and originally I didn't get it, and then he told me he liked it, which was surprising because it was Amos, and he doesn't like anything.
That's not
so
true.
He takes everything back all time at all times.
These are Mikey.
So I was, if he likes it, right. You know, then if Mikey likes it, then everybody,
you know,
everybody likes it.
I don't have the accoutrements that go with it, right? I it's a standalone Ooh. Unit. I, I don't have the Philips lighting to go with it.
We should talk about what are we talking about? We're talking about the Amazon Echo.
Which actually, as of this morning, my app updated on my phone and tells me that it's no longer the Echo. It's now the Amazon Alexa, which was new to me.
Makes sense, yep. Because you say Alexa to it.
Right. So it's a device that sits on your table or your counter or wherever you'd like to put it. And listens for voice commands when you say the device's name and tell it what to do. And if you've got any sort of home automation that's built in or that works with it, there's the Wemos, there's the Philips, there's a number of them that do. You can use it to control those home automation devices. So you can tell it to turn on your lights. You can tell it to, in some cases, you can tell it to open the garage door, which I'm not sure you'd have a whole lot of use for. But you know, just any home automation stuff. Electrical outlets can be turned on and off, cameras, that sort of stuff. I just use mine purely for entertainment purposes. Alexa, tell me a joke, you know, or trivia type stuff. So you can ask it to Wikipedia something for you, and it will look it up and read it back to you. I use it for streaming audio so that I can listen to music at any point. You just tell it what you want to listen to, and it goes out and finds it and brings it back. It works really well quickly, and it works well in that you can use just normal speech. You don't have to talk like a robot to get it to
respond.
So
where is it either a replacement or an improvement upon your current life? Because that's how I always think about a lot of my tech.
Well,
I mean, there's some tech that's just luxury.
Here's the deal. If you've used any voice recognition on a device like
Siri
or
terrible.
Cortana, I wouldn't call Siri terrible. I'd maybe think you're terrible at it. that's probably the case. But if you've used any voice recognition technology, you're familiar with how this works. The bonus with the Amazon Alexa, I guess is what they're calling it now.
Because
Amazon Echo is the device. I actually know the reason. Amazon Echo is the device. It's a cylinder about, you know, a foot tall,
yeah.
And about 4 inches across. That was the Echo. And the software is called Alexa. The software, the speech recognition software is called Alexa. But I think people got confused, and they smartly just said, okay, fine, we'll just call it the Alexa since that's what you want to call it anyway.
Yeah, it has to have a keyword.
Like a trigger word, yeah.
Yeah, to wake
so
up.
So if you want to listen to South Dakota Public Radio, all you do is say, in my case, I switched it so it recognizes on Amazon because my daughter has a friend named Alexa, so I thought that would be weird. So I say, Amazon, play South Dakota Public Radio. And it says, playing South Dakota Public Radio on iHeartRadio, and it just plays. I don't have to do anything, and it just plays.
And do you need an account to iHeart, or do you need to sync your accounts?
Nope, you don't. Although if you have an account with either TuneIn
or
Pandora or iHeartRadio or
Spotify.
It doesn't do Spotify probably yet.
Audible and Prime.
It does all of those.
Sure.
And you don't
that
have to
sense.
Have an account, but if you do, then you just get the benefits that you would have with an account. So that's certainly one way that I use it. I walk into the kitchen the first time in the morning. I used to have it set up where the radio would start automatically, but sometimes I'll listen to South Dakota, sometimes I'll listen to Minnesota, sometimes I'll listen to Chicago public radio in the morning, and now I just ask for it, and it just plays it. And I can switch on the fly. My hands can be full making lunches or breakfast or whatever it is, and I can just do that. Another thing that I use a lot with the Alexa is it has a shopping list, which sounds really stupid. Because you can put a shopping list on anything. But if you're in the middle of cooking, which I do in my house, and you need garlic, you just say, Amazon, add garlic to my shopping list. It does it no matter what it's doing. You don't have to get anything out of your pocket. And then it shows up on the app on your phone. So anybody can do that. So if my daughter wants rubber bands, she can tell it to add rubber bands to the shopping list. My wife can add something, and it just shows up on my device. I don't have to touch anything.
That's slick, yeah.
And, of course, one of the ways I use it, because I have Philips lighting all throughout my house, I can turn up and turn down, turn off and turn on all of the lights everywhere in my house. So I can say, turn my daughter's lights off or dim them to 50%. Bam, done. I can do that from anywhere in the house. Check the weather. And the real deal is the reason it works so well voice recognition-wise is the software is very good. I have no doubt about that. But I think the big secret is it's got 7 microphones on it. So not only does it pick up really well, but it can pick up your voice bouncing off a wall because it times the bounce based on how it's picking up the voice from several different microphones. So it knows that it's this far from the wall, and it knows that you're this far from it.
Sure.
And so it knows it's not picking up stray sound from a radio or from a TV. It knows that you're speaking to it. So that's, I think that's the real reason. It
almost
so
more
well.
Microphones than are in this room right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and they're so very good microphones.
Is this the kind of thing you could bring to the show next time when we could
absolutely,
talk
yeah.
to?
We'd have to
could
hook
we
it up
talk to it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We'd have to hook it up to the network, and oh, I think that would be the only trick.
I'll bring
stuff.
A Wi-Fi hotspot in. We'll
yeah.
be all right.
Actually, yeah, I could just do it
let's
on
do
phone.
This. I just today in the mail, I couldn't even didn't even open it yet, so I didn't bring it. I got the Karma device, which is that they didn't do a Kickstarter, but they did like a kind of like a pre-order thing.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a little hotspot kind of that you just bring, no subscriptions account, you load it, you kind of preload it. So I want this much data on it.
Okay.
You use up the data,
okay.
then you load it again. So you don't have to have a Verizon MiFi or whatever they call it. So I could bring in the Wi-Fi.
Sure.
Bring, bring the Alexa.
Alexa
we'll
will connect.
And we'll interview Alexa live on the air. So that's September 4th is our next Tech Radio. We are on the air in September on the 4th and the 18th. So this could get nutty. If we ask it to tell a joke, it better be a clean one, Amos.
I don't know that.
I can probably only
I don't think Alexa knows
jokes,
anything
yeah.
other than that.
Let's roll the right? dice and
it's,
see.
It's very family oriented. It's meant yeah. to be a household appliance.
So you said you mentioned Audible. So if this could read you, it's Alexa's not going to read you a book, but
oh, yeah.
it'll play a book.
I think it would.
It will play. No, it will play your books.
Whoever
Audible.
The author or whoever the narrator
yeah, it will
is.
Play it, right, and so. It will pick up from where you've left off from any Audible device. I know that because I subscribe to Audible.
I love Audible.
And so, like, if you were listening to a book in your car and you stop and you come in the house and you say, play Walter Isaacson's Steve Jobs biography, it will pick up right where you left off, and it will play from there.
That's amazing.
It's here's the big deal. Here's the reason it's so, I think, amazing to the people that have been amazed by it, which are quite a few. If you look up reviews on this thing, the reviews are overwhelmingly positive.
Okay.
It's because it's $100. It's under $200. It's not a $500 device. And you'd think that wouldn't matter for a technology device, but for something that you in Amos's case where he's playing with it, under $200 is a palatable amount. For somebody like me, I'm going to have one or two. It's not that much more. It's certainly cheaper than a phone or a mobile device. And it does quite a few things depending on, if they're the things that you need to do.
Getting back to John's question, though, so really this is a device of convenience. This is it's bringing you the things. It's kind of like having an assistant that brings you things that you need.
Yes,
you need,
although
you need music, you need books, you need ingredients for your stew or whatever.
Sure.
I like the idea of it potentially bringing entertainment or things to, like, say, your daughter without maybe actually having to give them their own device.
Oh yeah, well, and,
I mean, I know it's too late.
And my daughter asks questions all the time. How do you spell this? And it'll spell it to her. She'll ask a math question. She's not right. It'll do that. Which
Alexa does her homework.
They're cute. the things that allure are cute. But one of the things that I think is so amazing about how it works is, why it's such a good deal is, it's also a really good speaker. If you listen to the audio on it, this is probably what you would pay $120, $125, maybe as high as $150 quality-wise for the speaker itself. It has a good, semi-subwoofer sound. It's certainly great for audio or for voice, which is what I use it for most. But, we'll sit down to dinner, and somebody will just ask it to play. My daughter says, play Justin Timberlake, and it will just randomly play a bunch of Justin Timberlake.
Funny.
Yeah, so we're in the waning moments of the show here. We have had a couple of comments on Tech Radio on the Facebook page. Somebody posted a video for us about Ashley Madison, which I can't wait to watch off the show. And then Sarah must have joined us a little late. We talked about the Windows 10 upgrade. So she says, should we take the free Windows 10 upgrade offer that's popped up on our desktops? And
beat that one.
I'm going to say yes. Yeah, I mean,
as long as your computer is probably less than a couple years old, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give it a try. I like it. We've had two emails to the show that people like it. with varying degrees of little problems. But if you're willing to work those out, generally speaking, I think the consensus is go for it, Sarah. And let us know how it goes for you. Again, we're back on the air in September, the 4th and the 18th. Join us for another Tech Radio. That is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank our panelists today and join
us. The policeman.